I want to begin a new topic tonight. We kind of summed up Nogueira Beidos. We spent a couple of weeks on Nogueira Beidos. And tonight I want to do something that's a much smaller topic, but I think it's an interesting one that can occupy us for 1 or 2 weeks. And it's this topic that comes up on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. So I want to read the Gemara Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Part of the Gemara that we're going to read tonight is a Gemara that we have read already in the context of Nogueira. I just think that it is important in order to properly, the background is important in order to properly understand what we're dealing with. The Gemara appears in source 1, or alternatively, if you have the Daf Gemara itself, we'll start with Amar Rabbi Elazar. It is about 9 lines down. Last word is the Reish of Rebbe. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Now again, just to back up for one moment, the context is that our Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Meir, each litigant can disqualify the witnesses that are brought by the other Baal Din, which we noted was a rather radical position. It seemed insane, the Gemara said. What, you could just say, I don't like the other person's witnesses, then you could just dismiss any witness that's coming to testify against you, right? So the Gemara said, it can't clearly mean that. What does it mean? Then the Gemara went on to list a whole host of options. So one of the options was Amar Rabbi Elazar, v'bahu v'acher l'poslan. When he, namely litigant A, Reuven, and a third party come to disqualify Shimon's witnesses. Gemara asked, Kol kabine nogeh beitusohu, what do you mean? How can you believe him? He's a biased witness. And that set us off on our whole journey to explore the concept of nogeh beitus. Amar Acha Beit Rav Ika, kegon shekara alav irer, that there was some kind of error against him. Irer demai, ilema irer de gazlanuso, kol kabine nogeh beitusohu. If he's claiming that this person is a gazlan, that's not going to help. He's an nogeh beitus. Rather, he's saying that the entire family is disqualified. They're avadim, as Rashi says. They're all disqualified. Rabbi Meir holds that he's really testifying about the family, and the fact that this particular witness is disqualified is just a tangential result of that. And the Rabbanan holds, look, in the end of the day, he's nogeh beidus. And we discussed that machlok, as we noted that the Rabbanan seems to have the more intuitive position, and we tried to explain Rabbi Meir. Now, the Gemara, building on that, offers an alternative approach. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came, he reported in the name of Rav Yochanan, Machlokas b'shtei kitei edim. The Machlokas is in a case of 2 kitei edim. We'll leave that undefined for now. Rabbi Meir savar tzarech levarer, v'rabbanan zavri eino tzarech levarer. Because Rabbi Meir holds tzarech levarer, the Rabbanan holds ein tzarech levarer, al v'kazachas d'vriyakol ein yachol l'poslan. But if there's only one cause of edim, everybody agrees you cannot disqualify them. So let's take a look at Rashi to see what exactly this refers to, and we will read Rashi with a grain of salt, because we will see in a moment that other Rishonim interpret this Gemara differently from Rashi. But if you look at Dibur HaMaskil Machlokas B'Shtei Kitei Edim, Rashi explains what's going on here. Machlokas B'Shtei Kitei Edim, She'amar Baal Din B'Faneinu, that one of the Baal Adinim, let's say Reuven, comes into court and says in front of us, Yesh Li Shtei Kitei Edim. He declares, I have 2 groups of witnesses, P'davar Zeh, I have 2 groups of witnesses on this matter. Hevi kas rishona, so he brings in the first. Ve'amar halove ve'acher. Now again, it's bahu ve'acher l'poslan. We're still building on that. So the love comes in with a third party. Ve'amar psulin hein. And he says this group of witnesses are disqualified. Tehashto lav nogeya be'edos hu. Here he is not nogeya be'edos. He is not disqualified due to bias. Why? Sharei Amar Malva sheyesh lo kasacheres, because the Malva says that he has another group of Eidim. Ve'imbikesh v'lo matza yafsid, and if he can't bring in another kas Eidim, he's going to lose. To kasava Rabbi Meir tzarech ba'al din levarer l'ha'amid ala emes kol dvarav shetoin bebeistin, because Rabbi Meir holds that he must bring in a second group of Eidim. V'hani mifsali afla idios acheres. And they would be believed to fully disqualify them. And even though these turn out to be puzzle, and he said he had 2 groups of witnesses. This is going to be an important line that we'll come back to. When he said he has 2 groups of witnesses, he didn't necessarily know that the first group were going to be psulim. He just meant that he has 2 groups of people who were going to testify for him, and he indeed has that. So what is Rabbi Meir saying? Because we know that the Malveh must bring in a second group of Edim, the Lobet doesn't really benefit from disqualifying these witnesses, and therefore he is not going to be considered Nogei of Edis. Rabbanan Savri Ein Sarach Levarer, V'yacholomar Ein Li Od. He can say, you know what, I initially claimed that I had two sets of witnesses, but I don't, I really only have one. V'nimtza said Nogei of Edusa, who, and he's, therefore he is going to be disqualified due to bias, V'lomitzli Afilu Be'eduszu. And we're not going to disqualify these witnesses at all. So what Rashi is saying is that you have a machlokas about whether or not when a person comes into Beis Din and declares, I have two groups of witnesses, do I need to bring in the second group of witnesses, or do I not? Or do I not? According to Rabbi Meir, I do. And therefore, when Reuven says, I have two groups of witnesses, Shimon is able to disqualify the first set because, after all, Reuven is going to bring in a second set. And Shimon is believed, as long as he comes in with a third party, there are two Edim, they're believed to disqualify them. And Rashi says they're not only disqualified from this particular case, they're disqualified from Edim in general. They are accepted to say these witnesses are Psulim. By contrast, the Chachamim hold that you don't need to bring in that second group of witnesses. And because you don't need to bring in that second group, you're still going to be biased because it's possible that this is your adversary's only group of witnesses, the only kas edim, because it's possible that they're his only kas edim, you're nogeya when you try to disqualify them. Okay? So back in the Gemara for a moment. So we're now at Amru Lefanav, five lines up in the narrow lines. Amru Lefanav, Rav Ami, Rav Asi. Ein sham ela kas achas mahu. This is also as a Gemara that we read in the context of Nogaya. The Gemara says, what if there's only one Kaseid? The Gemara replies, Ein shem ela kas achas. What do you mean? There's only one set of witnesses? What do you mean? The whole idea why he would be accepted is because Reuven has a second set of witnesses. If Reuven does not have a second set of witnesses, then obviously Shimon would be Nogaya. Obviously he would bias when he tries to get rid of that Kaseid. Gemara says, no. Ela nimtzeis kashnia krovin opsulin mahu. If the second group of Edim turn out to be disqualified for a separate reason, then what do we say about the testimony on the first set? Amar lahen kvar ha'idu Edim harishonim, ikida amri amar ravashi kvar ha'idu ha'idim harishonim. Right? He said that the first witnesses have already testified, or Ravashi said, the first witnesses have already testified. We spoke about these Lashonos. This is the question of Nogaya Lamafreya, right? When I testified, I didn't realize that there were any important ramifications in my testimony, but it turns out that there were. And again, we pointed out that if Nogaya is a Chashash Sheker, that obviously, if I didn't realize the ramifications when I testified, I'm not going to be Pasul. But if it's some kind of formal Psul, then it's possible to retroactively apply the Psul Nogaya. Now the Gemara says something important. So this is the Nema, the last word on the first wide line. Let us assert that this machlokas about Tzarek Levarer or Ein Tzarek Levarer is actually a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. Desanya, for we learned in a brisa, Haba lidon b'shtar uva chazaka, nidon b'shtar divrei Rebbe. You have a dispute over a piece of land, and one person says, not only do I have a shtar, I also have a chazaka. I have a shtar and a chazak. Rebbe says, once he makes that claim, he can only use the shtar and he cannot use the chazak. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer nidon b'chazaka. Rav Shimon Gamliel says he should use the chazaka. Avinu baba chazaka v'lo b'shtar. And we say, what do you mean? He can only use the chazaka and he can't use a shtar. A shtar would certainly appear to be stronger than a chazaka. Ela ema af b'chazaka. Let us say that you can even use the chazaka. You don't have to use the edim. You can even use the chazaka. V'kai malan devitzarach levarer pligi. And the question we assert that the machlokas there is about tzarach levarer. Does he need to fulfill his claim that he had a shtar? The Gemara says, "Lo, no. It's not really parallel to that machlokas tanaim between Rabbi and Shmuel Gamliel. Alibeder Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel kuli amalo pligi. According to Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, everybody would agree that you don't need both sets of Edim, and even bringing in one would suffice. Ki pligi aliba de Rebbe. The machlokas is within the position of Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Meir Karebi. Rabbi Meir, like Rabbi, says, Tzarech Levarer, you need to bring in, if you claim you have something, you must bring it in. If you claim you have a shtar, you must bring in a shtar. If you claim you have two sets of Edom, you must bring in both sets of Edom. Rabbanan Amri Lecha, the Rabbanan will say, Ad Kan Loka Amar Rabbi Hassam, Ela Bechazaka Demi Koach Shtar Haka'asi. These are very important languages if you're studying Cheskes Kamashan, the beginning of Cheskes Abad, the third parak of Basra. But, and we will get into it a little bit, hopefully next week. But the formulation of the, or at least the Chachamim's understanding of the Rabbanan is, of course, it raises a question, you know, are the Chachamim and the Rabbanan the same group of people? But in any event, they would say, I'm sorry. This is within Rebbe. So the Rabbanan would say that when does Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi say that you need to bring in a shtar? Specifically in that case. Why? Because Chazaka mikoach shtar ka'asi. The chazaka that you have is only... again, this requires... This needs to be further defined, and again, we will look at it a little bit. But the chazaka is only based on the strength of the shtar. If it weren't for the strength of the shtar, the chazaka itself is undermined. Aval hacha, tehani edem, la mikoach edem achrina ka'asu, afilu Rebbe Moda de'en tzarech levarer. But here, where each kas edem stands independently, it's not like the kashrus of either set of witnesses is contingent on the kashrus of the other set, right? Each one is able to fend for themselves. Each one is able to stand independently. He would not say you need to be mevarer when you need to be mevarer by a chazaka, because a chazaka, after all, only works because you acquired the land through a shtar in the first place. But here, where each set of witnesses stands independently, you do not need to be mevarer. Okay? That's the Gemara. So, in terms of the conceptual analysis, we have to discuss what this notion of Tzarech Levarer or Ein Tzarech Levarer is. Why should you need to be Mevarer? Why should you not to be Mevarer? What's the purpose of that? And we do have to assess in what ways it is parallel and in what ways it is distinct from this case of Abad Lidon B'Shtar V'Chazak. But, to be honest, I mostly want to do that stuff next week. And this week I really just want to lay out some of the basics of what this sugya is really talking about in the first place. So if you go to our Maamar HaMakomos, you actually have three radically different interpretations about what this Gemara is even talking about in the first place. So we saw the approach of Rashi. The approach of Rashi would seem to make sense. It seems very similar to the case of Shtar and Chazaka, that says that if you claim that you have... The first approach is, again, Rashi's approach, that if you claim in Beis Din that you have two sets of Edim, the machlokas is whether or not you need to actually clarify or prove that what you said was true. When you said, I have two sets of Edim, do you need to actually bring in two sets of Edim, or do you not? That's the way Rashi understands Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim. We're going to see a twist on that next week. Rashi has a Lishna Achrina, but which changes the calculus slightly, but that is certainly the case for Rashi. You come into Beis Din, you claim you have two sets of witnesses, and now the question is whether or not you need to fulfill that claim. But there are two alternative approaches that are offered in the Rishonim. First, source 3 is the Pirush Mishnayos of the Rambam. El machlokas Rabbi Meir v'Chachamim, the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is Reuven sheto'an al Shimon shu chayv lo mamon. Reuven claims that Shimon owes him money. Behevi Reuven shnei edim, and Reuven brought in two witnesses. Ve'idu al Shimon shekach v'adavar. They testified about Shimon that that what Reuven's claim is true, that he indeed owes Reuven money. And then he brought in a second set of witnesses, and they delivered the same testimony. So the case is not where he comes in and declares, I have two sets of Edim, but rather what? He actually brings in two sets of Edim. He brings in one, they testify, then he brings in a second Kas Edim, and they offer the exact same testimony. Shimon gets up and simply declares, these four witnesses are disqualified. Rabbi Meir holds, Mekablim Dvarav. We actually accept what he says. It doesn't even seem like necessarily... he has somebody else according to... It doesn't even necessarily seem like he has somebody else according to the Rambam. According to Rashi, this case was building on the previous case of what?
of Bahu ve'acher leposlan, right? That him and somebody else are coming in to disqualify them. According to the Rambam, it's not at all clear that that's what's going on. The Rambam just says that Shimon himself gets up and says that they are psulut. Rabbi Meir Omer, mekablim dvarav, ve'omrim l'Reuven, b'rorshem k'sherim. Rabbi Meir says we accept Shimon's claim and we force Reuven to prove that they are k'sherim. Why? You wouldn't have brought in a second set of witnesses to give the exact same testimony. The only reason why you did that is because you must know that some of them are actually disqualified. And we don't know which ones are psulim, the first or the second. And therefore, it is upon you to prove that one of them are ksherim. That is the argument of Rabbi Meir. Now, let's just finish reading the Rambam. The Chachamim say, "Ein chashash b'havas edim achar edim." There is no chashash here that he brought two sets of edim to give the exact same testimony. V'shelo azakein machmas paslos echad mehem. He wasn't doing it because one of them is actually puzzled, that they're disqualified. El chazek es tainaso. He just wants to further corroborate his claim. And he wants to let you know that this is not just something that some people know, it's something that everybody knows. And we don't listen to Shimon unless he offers some proof for the psul. So the Rambam's case is entirely different. It's not where you claim that you have two sets of witnesses, but you bring in one set of edim, they testify, and then you bring in another set, and they offer the exact same testimony. According to Rabbi Meir, there is a reyusa here, and according to the Chachamim, there is not. Now, I think there's still, within the Rambam, there are still things that we can ask that aren't so clear from the Pirshei Mishnayos itself. For example, when the Rambam declares that, according to Rabbi Meir, right, Shimon can get up and claim that they are psulim. Does he need to definitively claim that they are psulim? Or is it enough for him to raise that as a question? He says, the way the Rambam formulates it, again, you always have to be careful with the Yukim and Pirshei Mishnayos because of the fact that it's translated, right? But the way the Rambam formulates it is he gets up and declares, Arba'az on psulim. He declares that all four of them are possible, right? So maybe it's the assertion of Shimon together with the Reisa of Reuven. What if Shimon would declare, I don't know if they're k'sherim or psulim, but because you brought them in, I want you to prove it. Would that be sufficient or would it not? Not so clear in the Rambam. On the one hand, you could have said, yeah, there's a reisa, so all Shimon has to do is say, nope, bring me proof. But the way the Rambam formulates it is he gets up and declares, Arba'as on psulim. He declares that all four of them are psulim. You might have claimed that it's only that claim in conjunction with the reisa that's sufficient in order to force Reuven to prove that the edim are k'sherim. On the flip side, you also have questions within the Chachamim. The way the Rambam formulates it, according to the Chachamim, there's no chashash in the first place. There's no reisa. He's not bringing them in because he knows that one of them are psulim. He's bringing them in because he wants to strengthen his claim. He wants to know this is something yadua lakol. Everybody knows this. It's obvious. But you could have maintained the shita of the Chachamim just to point out for other reasons as well. You could have said inachinami. There's a reisa. But that reisa is not enough to override the cheskas kashrus that the edim have. It's true, it's a little odd that Reuven is bringing in two sets of edim. I could have claimed, yeah, I acknowledge that the way the Rambam formulates the Chachamim, they're not acknowledging that it's odd at all. They're saying he has very good, legitimate psychological reasoning for bringing in both sets. I could have claimed, in Achinami it's strange, that reisa is not enough to override the cheskas kashrus of the edim. Or alternatively, I could have said even further, the way the Rambam formulates it is, it's a chashash. The reason why you brought in two is because you know that one of them are faulty. And we don't know which one, so therefore we're going to throw out all of them. That's also an added chiddush. I could have said, I accept the reisa. I accept that one of them are flawed. But the most I can conclude is that one of them are flawed. I can't be posel all four of them for that reason. So, no?
I mean, I would say that according to this logic, which I have, I'm like find a little puzzling for other reasons, but according to this logic, I would have
whose
said
logic? Ruby Mayer's?
Ruby Mayer's.
Why do you find it puzzling?
Well, I'll get to that, but I think it makes sense that you would say that all four should be puzzled in the sense that, you know, this is like the the approach of the Siftei Chachamim to Rashi. If Rashi gives two answers, it's because the Siftei Chachamim says neither answer is really good enough on its own, and you have to have both answers because you kind of know that both of them are not so good. Like, if you have one pair of good witnesses, then you
then why bring in the second?
Yeah.
Okay, fair. But the way the Rambam at least formulates it, correct, I hear what you're saying, but the way the Rambam formulates it is not that, oh, we have a chashash on both sets of Edim. The way he formulates it is... Now, I totally hear what you're saying. It's just not really the way the Rambam himself formulates it.
That word miksatam is...
And he says, imarishonim oha achronim. He's applying an or statement, right? If it's the first ones or the second ones.
The original Judeo-Arabic.
Okay, fair.
But in terms of Rabbi Meir's logic, it's sort of odd for legal systems should not, at least, you know, this one doesn't usually work like that. There's a certain degree of formal proceedings, and you don't say, well, like, if you're given the option to do something, and you take that option, you're automatically suspect. Meaning, if you're allowed to do something, then it makes sense that we shouldn't be calling into question your trustworthiness because you exercise your option to...
We do have the notion of Reyusa. We do have the notion of Reyusa.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
I agree with you, and that's why I was saying I don't think you have to go as far as the Rambam in asserting that the Reyusa is not there. I think you could have said, oh, even if we could call his... It's similar to what I was saying before. Even if we could call his motivations... or cast suspicion.
Right, I agree, yes. No, so I think you're right.
So the Edim are still the Cheskas Kashrus, and just the fact that he's acting strangely would not be sufficient to disqualify Edim. But the Rambam doesn't take Rabbi Meir up on that Chiddush. He just says that the Chachamim don't buy into the Umdana. They assert it's the opposite, you know, the Umdana works in the opposite direction. He just wants to, you know, further corroborate his case.
Also interesting, I would guess that the reason that Rashi interpreted the phrase the way that he, the case the way he did is because of the word sarach levarer, meaning the use of the word levarer sort of, you know, you see that invoked in terms of breira, in terms of in cases where you have to have either something that happens later determines something.
Rambam would say you have to be mevarer kasher sa'id.
Right, but that's like I realize you could use it that way, but I can understand why Rashi would have not read it that way.
Yeah, I think Rashi is the mainstream approach in the Rishonim, for sure.
Yeah. Rambam, I don't think he has to answer this question, but like, the Gemara could have just said, you know, tzarech, I don't know, like, other words, but like, you know.
Yeah, 100%. And certainly the comparison to Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel would seem to suggest more in Rashi's direction, right? How would you explain the comparison to Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel according to the Rambam?
Does he explain it in terms of...
I don't think he explains it in the Pirshei Mishnah. Okay. That would be hard, right? It would be a little difficult to understand in what sense exactly that is similar to the Machlokes in Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Unless you would say something like, okay, once you bring in a shtar and a chazaka, that casts a reyusa on the chazaka. In a similar way to bringing in two sets of edim casts a reyusa on one of the kita edim. It's a little bit harder. I think the most radical position by far is the third approach, and that's Rabbeinu Chananel. And this Rabbeinu Chananel isn't often discussed. I don't know if people are just like unaware of it, or maybe they interpret it differently than I interpret it.
It's very small print.
It's very small print. In my mind, this Rabbeinu Chananel is a truly radical Rabbeinu Chananel with potentially major ramifications for the way we understand Eidos. Now, I'll qualify that in a moment, but let's just take a look at what Rabbeinu Chananel says. Source 4. Achuz Rabbeinu V'chacham B'shtei Kitei Eidim. What does this mean? That it's a machlokes about two kitei edim. Rabbi Meir Tzavar, and this is again, it's pretty crazy. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. You'll let me know. Rabbi Meir holds, Sarech hamagish ra'ayaso levarer shezohakas hein edim. The person who's bringing forth his argument, his proof, needs to, in this sense, levarer almost means designate that this kas, they are his witnesses. V'im nimtzu upsulin, And if it turns out that they are disqualified, v'yava lahagish hakaso acheras, and he wants to bring in the other set of witnesses, yachol hanitva lomerlo. Again, this is every time I read it, I'm astounded by it. Yachol hanitva lomerlo. The lova can say to him, the nitva can say to him, kfar be'esha birarta hakaso acher, when you designated that first kas, ki'ilu batalta edozo hakas, it was as if you disqualified this second set of Eden. Zehu yachol aposlan she'amar Rabbi Meir. That's what Rabbi Meir means by yachol aposlan. The chachamim zavri, the chachamim hold, in batla edos hakas harishona, if, for whatever reason, the first set of Eden were disqualified, megash hakas hashniya, peshaber damin ki lo bitlam betchila, you can then bring the second one, and that's fine, because you weren't mevatel the second set of Eden. Now, what in the world does that mean? You have to designate the first set of Edom as your witnesses, and when you do so, that disqualifies the second set. Now, what is that reminiscent of?
Kiddushin and very brisker weddings.
Yes, Kiddushin, but not Kiddushin of very brisker weddings. Kiddushin of very brisker weddings, they do that for a separate reason. Why do they do that?
Because they don't want all the krovim.
But they don't want to remove nimtza echad meim karvo pasul. And is that only a very brisker weddings? I think that's standard fare. Most weddings in YU circles, they will the Masada Kiddushin will ask the Chassan if he designates those people as the same. Now that could still be a brisker thing, and everybody picked it. It's possible that everybody just picked it up from the Rav.
I think that might be true.
It's possible. I don't have such wide exposure. I will honest. I'm a bit parochial here, but that's the reason why they do it at weddings. That's a totally different concern. But it is true that by Kiddushin, there is a Hava Amina in the Ritva, in Masechas Kiddushin, I think it's on the Samachay, that you would have to formally appoint Eidos on a Kiddushin, Eidim on a Kiddushin. Why? Since it's Eidos L'Kiyum HaDavar, you'd require some kind of formal appointment to make them your Eidekiyum. And without that formal appointment, the Eidos L'Kiyum HaDavar would not work. Now, the Ritva himself rejects that possibility. And again, when we designate witnesses on a Kiddushin, it's not for that reason. It's for the separate reason of Nimtza Echel Meyam Karva Puzzle Eidosh Abad Lamatzaz Abad L'Kula. So you want to separate these two from the rest of the crowd, where there may be plenty of Krovim and Psulim and the like, right? But in a strict sense, the Ritva has a Havamina by Eidos L'Kiyom HaDavar that you need to designate Eidim. Now, again, the Ritva only has that Hava Amina by Eidos L'Kiyum HaDavar, and even there, the Ritva rejects it. He says it's not true. Here, Rabbeinu Chananel seems to be saying, now for Rabbi Meir, obviously we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir, but he's saying that for Rabbi Meir, even just regular Eidos, lo ivruzadi el l'shakri, the Eidim are only there to assert that something occurred, would require some kind of formal minui, some kind of formal appointment. These are my witnesses in court, and other witnesses are disqualified. It's a very radical position. I think it brings regular Eidos a huge step closer to some kind of formal Eidos L'Kiyum HaDavar. I think the way you'd have to justify it is if you say, as we said a number of times, in the context of Nogeya Be'Eidos, in the context of Ein Eid Nasa Dayan, right? There are certain designated roles in Beis Din. There's a Baal Din, there's a Dayan, right? Those are very clearly delineated at the beginning of the court case. I think the way you'd explain this position of Rabbi Meir according to Rabbeinu Chananel is that since there are those clearly defined roles in a Beis Din, you need to clearly designate who the witnesses are as well. Now, can you designate multiple Kite, if you would have designated multiple Kite Edim at the outset as his witnesses, would that have been okay? Rabbeinu Chananel doesn't really tell us that. He doesn't really take a stance on that. It's possible that you're only able to be Mevarer one Kas Edim. That would seem to be a little strange. Or maybe he would hold that there's some kind of formal stage where some kind of opening statement where the Ba'al Edinim would declare who their witnesses are. And anybody who's declared at that stage is okay. Anybody who's not declared at the stage is not okay. But in any event, it's a very radical position that somehow, according to Rabbi Meir, you'd actually need to designate who your witnesses are, even by Eidos that's not Eidos L'Kiyum HaDavar, even if it's just Lo Ivrusadi El L'Shakri, even by Eidim that are just testifying that something occurred. Yeah?
Is it possible
you
Is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan is just really saying the same thing as Rashi?
As Rashi?
Meaning, unless I misunderstood Rashi, I kind of thought that, I mean, not in quite the same language, certainly not this as strong language, but that the point is you need to, you know, play all your cards up front, you know.
Let me explain what I think the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rashi would be. Rashi says that this only has nafka minas when you come into court and say, I have two sets of witnesses, right? Let's say according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan never says that you come into court and declare, I have two sets of witnesses, right? You come in, you present your first set of witnesses, and then you present the second set. But he makes no indication that you have to make that declaration in the first place, that you have two sets of witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right, Rashi is saying specifically when you come in and declare, I have two sets of witnesses, then you need to respond. Or you need to live up to your own claims.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, I agree that like the object of the word of the word levarer is definitely different, and that I think you're right in terms of like the language that he's Rabbi Yochanan is using is sort of evocative of this kind of like designating Aiden, Kim Hadavar, kind of whatever that kind of thing. But and so I agree that that it's different in the sense that Rabbi Yochanan assumes this is true regardless of whether you declared in advance. But it could be that he really meant, you know, aside from that practical difference, the same thing. I mean, he didn't really mean to say, you know, you have to designate the agent. He just means that you need to, that by not declaring up front that you have the second pair of Aiden, you implied that you will not be bringing any further Aiden.
That would be the opposite of Rashi. Right, Rashi, the whole point is that you're upfront declaring that you do have two sets of Aiden.
No, but then you have to...
Right, Rabbi Yochanan, what you're saying now in Rabbi Yochanan is the opposite, that you implied that you only have one. If anything, it would be more similar to the Rambam. If you want to make it a little more technical, right, you implied that you only have one, now you're bringing in two, something sketchy is going on here. But I don't think that's the implication of Rabbi Yochanan. The implication of Rabbi Yochanan is that by appointing this first set of Edim, you are effectively nullifying future sets of Edim. It seems like it's much more formal.
It could be. I'm not arguing that it can't be. I just wonder if it could. This is just his way of suggesting that you can't, you know, have last minute changes.
It's definitely not Rashi, right? It's definitely not Rashi. Even if we take what you're describing right now, that's still very far from Rashi. And it's not the Rambam either, because the Rambam says it's specifically post-facto.
Yeah.
Right? And it's definitely not Rashi. Again, if you're saying the whole point is...
like the Rambam has a completely different understanding of what we're even talking about.
Right.
But yeah.
Right.
Could just be the flip side of Rashi. I mean, Rashi's saying, if you say up front that you have two sets, you need to bring two sets. Or Chanel's saying, if you say up front that you have one set, you need to bring one set. They both stem from some general principle that whatever you say...
But I would say that we'll have to discuss Rashi. That's what we're going to discuss next week, and what the conceptual mechanism of that is, that once you say you need two, you need to bring in two. It's a much bigger chiddush to say that if you had one, then you can't. In other words, Rashi is saying you have to live up to the standards of what you said. Rabbi Yochanan would be saying that you can't surpass the standards of what you said. That's a lot more odd, right? If we're looking at the conceptual mechanics here, Rashi can be explained in a number of ways. Either he subscribes himself, it's like a hischaivus. He says, I have to have a new, you know, he creates a new standard for himself. Or he just needs to fulfill his claims in order to maintain his own ne'emanos and beis din, right? There are lots of logical svaras that we could give for Rashi. Rabbi Yochananel, unless you're going to say that we suspect him because he said he had one and then he brought in these others, where did they come from? Which doesn't necessarily seem like the best svara, right? Maybe there were more witnesses than he realized. I think the language and misvara, it makes most sense to say that there's some kind of formal minui edim here. Which is definitely odd, it's definitely radical.
I can think of a reason, meaning you can't... I was going to say it's not fair to the court proceedings to come up with a last minute, you know, addition to the, you know, to your evidence, because you can't, you know, it doesn't allow the other Baal Din to.
All right, I mean, you'd still be adopting the same fundamental svara that I'm adopting, that you have to appoint Edom at the beginning. Now, as opposed to what I'm saying, that it's about the formal status of Edom and Beis Din.
But it could be, but it could also just be you can't sort of deceive the. If you have two sets of Edom, it's sort of deceitful to only declare one at the beginning and then later come and actually, when that first set of Edom doesn't work, come with the second one, because the opposing Baal Din is unable to, you know, sort of take that into account.
It doesn't seem like the implication of Rabbeinu Chanan.
I'm not saying that he is saying that, but I think that would be a reasonable sort of, I guess, more technical reason for this to be true, even though I agree with you that he is using a more formal sort of language.
In any event, we end up with three interpretations of the Rishonim here. Again, Rashi we're going to explore more next week. The Rambam, you know, there are some minor chidushim there. Rabbeinu Chananel, at least in his interpretation of Rabbi Meir, is quite radical. Now, what I want to explore, and I don't know if we're going to finish this tonight, but hopefully at least cover some of the basics, is the question of, is it really true that you need to bring in this second Kas Edom? Rashi in our Gemara seems to be assuming that what? That once Reuven comes in and declares, I have two Kite Edom, then he is required to bring them in. But whether or not he's actually required to do so is actually a dispute among the Rishonim. And it's based on a Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Kuf Ayin. If you look at verse 5, in the context of a much larger discussion, it says, Kihadu Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef HaMasik Beizuze Barevi Abba and Azalekamayda Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef is trying to extract money from Rabbi Abba. They come to Rav Yitzchak Nafka. Omar Paratiko Bipne Ploni Uploni. Says, I paid you in front of two witnesses. And I gave you their names. I paid you in front of Reuven and Shimon. Omar Rav Yitzchak Yivau Uploni Uploni V'yeidu. That's the case. Then bring in Reuven and Shimon and let them testify. He replies to Rav Yitzchak Nafka. Ilu asu lo mehem nina. If I don't bring in Reuven and Shimon, then I'm not believed. V'hakai malan, but don't we say, Hamave eschavero be'edim, eino tzarech leporo be'edim. That a person who lent somebody money with witnesses, the lova does not need to pay back with witnesses, and he should be believed even if he just says paraticha. Amalei, anoa be'ahi kishmaisa demar sfirli. I, on the matter of Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, regarding the whole, question of avali umshtar v'chazaka, I hold like Rebbe who says tzarek levar. I'm Rebbe, I'm Rav Ada bar Ava, I'm Rav. Amar lachaveiro partichah b'pnei ploni uploni, tzarek sheyavo ploni uploni v'yeidu. That you do need to bring in ploni uploni. Amar leva ha'amar of gidol amar Rav halacha k'tivir Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. But don't we say that the halacha follows Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that you're allowed to use the chazaka in a case of bali d'mshtar v'chazaka, so you shouldn't need to bring in those particular edim. And now here's the key line. Ve'av Rebbe lo amar elo levarer. And when Rebbe said that you need to bring in the shtar, that's only levarer. Amar le, ano nami levarer ka'amina. When I say that you have to bring in those two witnesses, it's also only levarer. Okay? Now what in the world do those words mean? Ve'av Rebbe lo amar elo levarer. So if you look at Tosfos in Sanhedrin, Aradaf, source 6. Kashlor Benitam. Benitam is a problem with our Gemara. The Perek Pashut, if you look back at that Gemara above Asra, Mashmad Afilu Manda Amar Tzarech Einu Lechatchila. It implies that even the Manda Amar who holds, you need to use the Shtar. That's only Lechatchila. Yomru Lo Basin Barer Tvaracha. Basin should tell him, all right, you made this claim, so substantiate it. Al Mikol Makom Emein Yochol Levarer B'Kach Lo Yafsid. If he can't be Mavarer, he's not going to lose the case on that basis. Tom understands like the first Lashon in Rashi. Again, we're going to explore the second Lashon in Rashi next week. But what does it mean when Rabbi Meir holds that you're able to be posel them, you're able to disqualify the witnesses because of Tzarek Levarer? He says, again, this is in the second to last line of source 6, Lefisha based in Omrim Lo Barer Dvarecha, because based in tell him, clarify what you are saying. Presumably, he will do what Beis Din tells him to do. Now,
clearly within that language of mistamma, what is Rabbeinu Tam saying? It's not that he has to. It's not that he loses the case if he fails to. Rabbi Meir is saying he's not nogaya because he presumably will. Now, just to point out, that happens to be a huge chiddush within nogaya ve'edos, right? He's not nogaya because presumably the other guy will follow what Beis Din says and bring in other edim. Now, no matter what approach of nogaya you take, you could have very easily said that, oh, if he doesn't have to bring in a second kas edim, and it's just likely that he will, there's still going to be some kind of negius there, right? So this approach of Rabbeinu Tam does assert a very significant chiddush in terms of Rabbi Meir's position on the scope of nogaya. It significantly limits the scope of nogaya ve'edos, insofar as long as it's unlikely that this will be the only kas edim, then he will be kosher. So that's a significant chiddush. But Rabbeinu Tam is clearly maintaining that you don't, based on the basis of that Gemara Bava Basra, you don't have to bring in the second kas. It's just nice if you do so. Beis Din should tell him to do so. If you made that claim, Beis Din should tell him to do so. But he doesn't have to. Okay? Now, if you want to assert, like Rashi on our Gemara, that you do have to bring in the second kas, then how are you going to explain that line in the Gemara Bava Basra, which says, Ve'af Rebbi lo Amar Ela Levar? So there are two approaches to that line in the Rishonim. The first, source 7, is Rabbeinu Gershom on that Gemara. Ve'af Rebbi lo Amar Denidon B'shtar. When Rebbe said that we use a shtar, he only said that El Lavare. Ka'amar de Metrachin Onlay Li'isuye Shtara. It's that which we tell him to trouble himself to find the Shtara. Ve'lo Maisi Lo Me'akev. If he doesn't bring it, it's not Me'akev. Ve'ne'man Af Anonami Afagav Lo Asusadi Mehemna. Even when, so again, the argument is, Af Rebbe lo amar el lavarer, when Rebbe said that, he only meant lechatchila. Again, he had starts his interpretation like Tosfos. Rebbe only said that lechatchila. But if you fail to bring it, it's not that you lose the case. And therefore, when I say, paraticha b'fnei ploni uploni, and I can't bring ploni uploni, don't hold that against me, don't make me lose the case for that reason. And then, there's a turn in the Gemara. Then Amar le Anonami Levar Kamin Alcha. What does this line mean when he says, I also mean Levar? Tiavo uploni uploni via idu ka kedeshi is baru dvarecha. I also mean that ploni uploni should come to clarify your words. V'lava hachi mehemnes. So it's the reading is a little unclear here. He's still working in that notion that if you don't have that, you'd still be believed. But then here's the flip. So then he replies, "Anonami to Rav Yitzchak Nafka, Anonami levar kamina." Meaning what? Lo kiteka amrit de Rebbe lo amar dinidon b'shtar. Well, you say that when Rebbe only said you need a shtar, eno elak de levar velo mishum davka ka amar. That what you're telling me that it's only a lechatchila when Rebbe said that you only need a lechatchila. And us for your lead the high levarer mishum davka ka'amar. No, I disagree with you, and I think that when Rebbe said levarer, he meant that you need that leikuva, and if you don't have it, you're not yotzei ka'amar. But tzarech tarti, you really need to af at ilob mevareres lo mehemnes, and you as well. If you do not fulfill the words that you claimed in Beis Din, you are not going to be believed. So how's Rabbeinu Gershom reading the Gemara? He's saying va'af Rebbe lo amar el levarer is one interpretation of Rebbe. Rebbe only said that as a lechatchila. And then when he replies, Amar lei anonami levarer ka'amina, he's not saying, I only mean it lechatchila, the way Rabbeinu Tam interpreted it. He said, no, what he's really saying is, you interpreted what this language of levarer means. I'm also saying levarer. What levarer means is that it's leikuva. Right? So when we say, oh, Rebbe lo amar el levarer, what that actually means is my position. That you need to be mevarer, and if you fail to be mevarer, you lose the case. Okay, so Rabbeinu Gershom turns it, he initially reads the Gemara like Tosfos, that the suggestion is that Rebbe would only require the Bir Lechatchila, but the response in the Shach of Atariya, when he says, Anon Nami Levar Kamina, it's not a concession that I only mean it in the sense of Lechatchila, it's saying, Anon Nami Levar Kamina, namely my position also fits under the rubric of Levarer, and when we say that Rebbe is Levarer, what we mean is, he holds that you need it, otherwise you lose the case. Another more interesting view is found in the Rashbam. It's a little more creative here. Source 8. The argument is that the halacha should really be like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Sh'af Rebbe lo nechlak ala mishum de svir lei de tzarek levar es dvarav acharesha ta'an yesh li shtar. Because the real reason why Rebbe only, the only reason why Rebbe disagrees is because he also holds, because he holds that you need to fulfill your claim if you claim that you have a shtar. Rebbe moda she'im lo ta'an lo haya tzarek ala chazaka levada. Rebbe admits that if you never forwarded that claim that you have a chazaka, that you have a shtar, I'm sorry, then your chazaka would certainly suffice. Now, underline, v'kivan de lo havya plotayu elak de levarer, because the machlokas is only about whether or not you're mevarer, your claim, nirin divrei Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel she'ein lo lahafsid b'shvil sfas yaser. It appears Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel should be right, that you shouldn't lose because you volunteered extra information. It's a very strange suggestion. What the Rashbam is suggesting is, because it's almost like Rebbe says it's levarer, in other words, what he's saying is as follows. Rebbe only said that you need the shtar when you claimed you have a shtar, not when you don't. And because that's what Rebbe's saying, it seems really counterintuitive, and we should pass on like Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. That's what the Rashbam is effectively saying. When it says, Rebbe lo amar elak levarer, it's really saying, Rebbe Shita doesn't seem to make so much sense. Rebbe said that just because you volunteered extra information, you're going to lose the case, that doesn't really seem to make much sense. So, when it says, Rebbe lo amar el levarer, what that's really suggesting is, we should paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. That's the suggestion. But Rebbe himself, would Rebbe himself hold that it's le'ikuva? It would seem to be that Rebbe himself does hold that it's le'ikuva. So you end up with this machlokas rishonim about whether or not, even according to the day of tzarech levarer, you actually have to bring in the witnesses that you claimed you have. According to Tosfos, nobody holds that you actually have to bring in those witnesses. The most that we'll say is it's a lechatchila, it's something that Beis Din instructs you to do, and if you're a good upstanding person, you'll try to observe the instructions of Beis Din. But nobody holds that you actually need it. Whereas Rabbeinu Gershom and the Rashbam hold that there are deos that you actually need it. And again, this will be important when we try to flesh out some of the lumdos next week. Now just one final, it's 10:01. Maybe 10 o'clock tonight?
No, I think we should get started with our minyan here.
Yeah. So, one final point. Is there anybody else there or no?
I also thought.
Yeah. Right. It's been a spotty minion recently. No? No, just one final point. Even among Tosavos, there's a machlokas that you'll see in source 9. What happens if... Okay, so let's say we just saw machlokas. What happens if he's not able to bring in other Eidim? Right? And we saw that Rabbeinu Tam doesn't really require him to bring in other Eidim. What would happen, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if he brought in the Eidim and they said, Lo hayu dvarim me'olam? Is he still okay, or is that worse? So that's two deos in Tosfos in Bava Basra here. I'll just read the underline, just for the sake of brevity and time. The first day is, V'myimtu v'yomru lo ra'inu me'olam michayev, aval im lo yimtaim lo avad b'kach. That if they bring them in and say what you're saying is not true, then you lose the case. But if you can't find them at all, you don't lose. But then the second day in Tosfos says that there are certain gemaras in Masechta Shavuos that imply that that's not the case. That even if they say lo hayu dvar me olam, because we have a principle of kol misal lo rami leite inish lava daite. So there Tosfos suggests that even if the witnesses come in and say lo hayu dvar me olam, they say that you're incorrect, then you still will not lose the case. Now again, that is an interesting machlokas. It could be treated in technical terms, it could be treated in fundamental terms. In terms of technical terms, we might say, oh, if he chose these people as his witnesses, and they themselves said that he was incorrect, then he's going to lose the case. The other day, I may say, Lavdavka, he thought that they were there, he made a mistake, and you can't penalize him for that. The alternative would be, and I don't know if you could justify this just based on Tosfos, but certainly in light of that Rabbeinu Chananel that we were saying earlier, when he claims these people are his witnesses, they attain some kind of formal stature in the Beis Din. And if those kinds of people say, lo hayu dvar me'olam, then we don't just say, oh, you know, or if they say, you know, lo ra'inu, lo shamanu, then it's no longer just a mistake where he thought that these people saw, and perhaps it was other people who saw. Once he designates these people as the people that he wants to bring in for Eidim and Beis Din, their testimony carries a greater weight, such that when they say lo hayu dvar me'olam, that can potentially ruin his case. So that basically fleshes out the details of Yachal Levar and Tzarech Levar. Three approaches in the Rishonim to what we're talking about in the first place, and then within Rashi's view, that you're declaring that you need to bring in a second class Eidim, is it actually true that you need to bring them in?
at least according to Rebbe. According to the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Gershom and Rashi on our Gemara, yes, it is true you need to bring them in. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it is not true that you need to bring them in. Even according to Rabbeinu Tam, 2 days of what happens when they say Lo Hayudvar Me'olam, and Mezuz Hashem next week, we'll explore some of the more, you know, exciting conceptual ramifications of the Halacha of Tzarech Levarer and the way it plays out in our Gemara and in general. Okay.